Today we are going to continue in our eschatology series. Eschatology means the last days. Many people are very concerned what is going to happen in the last days. We can see as we are living in a world that the world is getting smaller and smaller. If technology is growing so fast, we cannot keep up. With the technology, we see there is so much wickedness. Even in Iran, North Korea, they are all planning to have the nuclear bombs and so forth. What's going to happen? But today I'm going to continue on the rapture of the church, part two. Because last time, this is part of the eschatology, part of the end times. Because there are so many teachings that is going on, as we saw last week. We saw the evidence from the final authority, that's the Word of God. As a lot of people are saying in the church today, there's going to be a secret rapture of the church. That means a noiseless rapture, that Christ will appear in the heavens without any noise. Suddenly people will disappear. And the spirit of our age has taken an eschatological turn from the classical historical Christianity. The secret rapture is so popular today, it's just nothing but man-made fiction. And doesn't go along with the scriptures. And these fictions have made into movies. And it's very... So that's why we want to expose this and show there is no secret rapture. If you remember last time we went on 1 Thessalonians 4, as we saw very clearly in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And so the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be caught up together with the Lord in the air." It says here, voice of the Lord is going to be pretty strong, okay? And then also talks about the voice of an archangel. And not only that, the trumpet call, all these three, it's not a noiseless secret rapture, okay? This time, people are asking, with all these things happening in the world, if God is alive, why God doesn't do anything? Well, we are seeing a silence. But that silence is going to break out with the voice of God himself and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet call. And some people might say, well, what about scriptures like says in the Bible that he will come like a thief in the night? Huh? Isn't that like a secret rapture? What about Noah? What about when God, during the time of Noah, how God, before the wrath of God came, he allowed Noah and his family to escape? Isn't that a beautiful, isn't that a symbolical type that the church will be taken out before the wrath of God? And what about Sodom and Gomorrah? How God took Lot out and his family? Isn't that like a picture of God going to take the church out before his wrath coming down? Well, we are going to see all these things next time. But today I'm going to continue on some of the other things to show that the rapture of the church and his second coming is the same. It's the same. As the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, they're not two different events, but the same. During the rapture, the believers will be raised up. The second coming of Christ that happens at the end of the age, or the last days, is going to be the same. The rapture gurus today, they preach that the church will be taken out from the world, right? The church is going to be taken out from the world. That's what the people, most pastors and evangelists, they preach that the church is going to be taken out from the world. And it, you know, this is very pleasing to the flesh. Wow, we don't have to go through anything. We'll be just taken out. But let's see what Jesus said. So this is where we are going to compare. We are going to expose the deceitfulness of pre-tribulation rapture. And if somebody is listening from the internet, we don't want you to turn it off. We would like you to continue this series and to see the whole picture here. And as I said, that the people who believes in the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, they believe that the church will be taken out from the world. But if you turn with me to John chapter 17, this is where we are going to show everything through scripture. And John chapter 17, let's see what Jesus said. John chapter 17, we see the high priestly prayer, high priestly prayer before Jesus went to the cross, how he prayed to the Father. In John chapter 17, let's turn to verse 15. John 17:15. And Jesus said, I do not ask that you take an... read from verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 15 says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So here the rapture gurus are saying that the church will be taken out of the world, but Jesus is praying for something else. That you would not take them out of the world, but keep them. There's a contradiction there. What you have heard through tradition, what the people are telling you, and what the Word of God is saying. That's a big contradiction. That's why we need to, you know, how many times even me before who have attended the pre-tribulation church, I mean, there are some scriptures they support, like a thief in the night, you know, they totally take the 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 out of context and talk about the Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah and other scriptures totally out of context. But let's study the scriptures. Let us be diligent in studying the scriptures. And let us pray and focus on the scriptures and see what the scriptures are exactly saying. That's what is more important. Now, the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ is the same. Not two different events. If you turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 39. John 6, 39. John chapter 6, 39. And Jesus said here, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing. That I should lose nothing of all, for that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. In verse 40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son, believes in him, should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, we got to be very intelligent here, okay? We got to be thinking Christians. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus said, and this is the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? That nobody, none of the elect will be lost, but they will be raised him up. They will be raised up again in the last day. Okay? They will be raised up again in the last day. Okay? And I will raise him up at the last day. So what is he saying here? There is going to be a resurrection. A bodily resurrection. Then see verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Again, we see here that there is going to be a resurrection at the last day. John 6:54. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. How many times he repeated again and again that Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. Now, I want you to put that into your brain, okay? Don't allow it to go away. Now, keeping that in your brain, thinking that, remember 1 Corinthians 15:52. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Alright? 1 Corinthians 15:52 talks about the same. And this is where a lot of people who believe in the rapture, they like to quote this. The 1 Corinthians 15:51. Let's start from verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and who is going to be raised? The dead will be raised. How? Imperishable, and shall be changed, for the imperishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now, think about it. Jesus said, if the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation, alright? That means if you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, believers will be raised up, right? Okay. Then, there's a problem because Jesus said in John 6:39, 6:44, 6:54, again, they are going to be raised up again. How many times they are going to be raised up according to pre-tribulation rapture? 2 times. The first time is 1 Corinthians 15:50 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. But the problem is 1 Corinthians 15:50 speaks that when ye are raptured, perishable, you know, will be changed. The dead will be raised imperishable. Perishable body must put on imperishable. That means you are going to get a glorious body. So, pre-tribulation people who believe in the rapture, they say when you are raptured in the first time, your body, you are going to get a heavenly body. But if you are going to get a heavenly body, how can you die again? And Jesus is going to raise them up again. This is going to be the last day. Jesus said it's going to happen in the last day. So there cannot be two different events. He's talking the same thing. Otherwise there will be going to be a lot of problems. And the other thing is, not only that, look about the trumpet sounds here. 1 Corinthians 15:52 talk about the last trump of God. The last trump. That means usually the trumpet blast is also a signal of the Lord's coming to rescue his people from the oppression of this world. Usually the trump of God is a signal to show how the Lord is going to come to deliver his people from the oppression of the world. If you remember John 17 and so on, in the book of John, it talks about this world. Christian is not going to love the world. The world is going to hate the Christians. There is always going to be enmity. And if you turn with me to Zechariah 9:14, how in the Old Testament gives a picture how the Lord is going to blow the trumpet, and there it's going to be a comfort for the people, and Lord is going to defend them and save them. Zechariah chapter 9 verse 14. Zechariah 9:14 says, then the Lord will appear over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet, you see that? And will march forth in the whirlwinds, the south. The Lord host will protect them and protect His people. That's what He says here. And they shall devour and tread down the sling stones, and they shall drink and roar as the drunken wine, and be full like a bowl, and drenched like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of His people, for like the jewels of His crown, they shall shine on His hand. Here we see. The trumpet blast is something in the Old Testament. It's a picture how God is going to take care of His people, protect them, and save them, and deliver them. As the exact picture we see in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, talks about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. There is going to be a trumpet that is going to sound. That's exactly what the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says. 16 and 17 says. But many believe, 1 Corinthians 15:52, they believe this is a rapture. It's not the second coming. It's going to be the rapture. But how can you say that's going to be the rapture, not the second coming, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29? Because according to many, the rapture is going to happen before the great tribulation, right? So if you turn with me to Matthew 24:29. Matthew chapter 24:29. Matthew 24:29, Jesus said here, immediately after the tribulation of those days, those days is always days to come. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So he's talking immediately after the tribulation of those days as the future event. Then verse 30 says, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send out His angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Question. You have been thinking very intelligently. If there is going to be in the first, we saw 1 Corinthians 15:52, there is going to be a trumpet call. And it says there, that's the last trumpet call. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, we see there is going to be a trumpet call. If 1 Corinthians 15:52 talks, is that going to be the last trumpet call? And they believe after that there is going to be a tribulation. And after the tribulation, God is, He's going to come a second time. Doesn't make sense, because 1 Corinthians 15:52 says it's the last trumpet call. And is God going to have another trumpet call after the last trumpet call? Or is there going to be a last trumpet call? Doesn't make sense. How many last calls are there? Maybe man can have many last calls, but not God. When God says it's going to be the last, it's going to be the last. So 1 Corinthians 15:52 talks about the last trumpet call. And here, Matthew 24, verse 29, talks about the angels going to blow the trumpet call. It's the same thing. It's the same, talking the same event. talking the same thing. That means the first, the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ is the same event. There's no other trumpet, there's no other last trumpet call, there's only one last trumpet call. The word of God cannot contradict, but tradition and men's opinions always contradict. Then see Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Oh, we read that, right? And verse 31 says, "And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, this is what we need to understand. The believers and the unbelievers, they're all going to live together. Even in the church, there will be believers, true believers, and in the church, there will be unbelievers. It's very easy for somebody to say, "I am a Christian." But if God is the one who's elect, we don't elect God. Okay? It's so easy to somebody say, "I'm a Christian," but if that person is not truly born again and his actions are different than what he believes, that person is not a Christian. So there will be the wheat and the weeds will grow together in the church. The hypocrites and the believers will live together until the coming, second coming of Christ. Matthew chapter 13 is a good example. Matthew 13 verse 24. If you turn with me to Matthew 13, 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Okay, and then it says here, "So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also, and the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" You don't have to explain what this means. What is the wheat here? The wheat are the true Christians. Everybody believes that. And what are the weeds here? The unbelievers. Wheat and the weeds are going to grow together. Only at the last day, we saw that. Last day, at the last trump of God, how God is going to separate the weeds and he's going to burn them. He's going to take the weeds out and burn them. And he's going to take the wheat. And that's what he says here. So the Christians and the non-Christians, they are going to live together until the last day when Jesus, in his second coming, he is coming as a judge in his second coming. And for the Christian, it is a comfort to meet the Lord, because we are going to be delivered from this world, delivered from the misery, and delivered from temptations that we go through, difficulties, spiritual warfare, everything what we go through, we are going to be delivered. That's a comfort for us. God knows who are his, And it is not going to be our decision at the end to say, I am yours. No. As he is the one who is going to separate the sheep and the goats. There is going to be a deliverance for the true Christians and a judgment for the non-believer. Matthew chapter 25, if you turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Verse 32, before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. What did Jesus say in the book of John? We went through the scripture. He is going to raise them up in the last day, right? Now, just like that, He is going to separate every single person, how a shepherd is going to separate from the sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and He will place the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See that? See verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from you, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And here we see again how the Lord is going to separate the true Christian from the non-believers. So, what do we say here? We see that the resurrection of the saints must coincide with the resurrection of the wicked. Alright, you understand? Resurrection of the dead, the true Christians, must coincide, meaning it happens at the same time with the resurrection of the wicked. When the believers come forth into the resurrection of life, at that same time, all the tombs will be open, including the wicked, will be raised to judgment. All the tombs are going to be open, including the wicked, and will be raised. The wicked will be raised to judgment. The believers will be raised to life. Now, can you support that from Scripture? Yes, I can. Turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 26. John 5, 26. John chapter 5:26 to 5:29. It says here, Jesus said, let's start from verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Where did you see that the dead is going to hear the voice of the Son of God? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, 1 Corinthians 15, and we saw many scriptures the dead is going to hear. Alright? Then let's go back to John 5, let's continue. Verse 26, and so the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself. Verse 27, and He has given Him authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear His voice. Who is going to hear the voice of the Son of God? All. Who is all? All. Not only the Christians. All. All means everybody. All cannot be limited. Okay? Then it says here, verse 29, and come out those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That's exactly what I said before. The Christians will be raised to life. The non-believers, they will be raised to judgment. Daniel also gave a little picture on this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, Daniel said, "And many those who are asleep," let's read from verse number 1, "at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be times of trouble, such as never has been there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people will be delivered." And I believe that's exactly what the book of Matthew said. There will be a tribulation. Yeah? After the tribulation will be the second coming of Christ. Then it goes on to say, Daniel goes on to say, "But at that time your people shall be delivered." That's the second coming. "Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that those he has known before the foundation of the world. Verse 2 says, "And many those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Exactly what we saw, what Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 25 to 29. Beautiful. How there's harmony in Scripture. A lot of times what happens is men put their theology or men put their ideas into the Scripture. So they put their theology into the Scripture or their ideas or what they think into the Scripture, and they try to separate the Scriptures. There's going to be utter confusion. That's why they believe there's going to be two comings of Christ. How can you be two comings of Christ? They believe one Christ is going to just appear silently. We never saw a silent appearing of Christ. The movie says that, but not the Bible. And the second time, Christ is going to come again. So no, rapture of the church and the second coming is same. It's the same. You cannot separate it. Tradition says it. People say it. But the Bible doesn't say it. I'm not going to give a lot here. I'm going to take, every time when I come, I'm going to take just a little bit and expose those little for us to understand it clearly. And next time, we are going to see some other things, how the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night, and all those things. And we are going to expose those scriptures in the light of the Bible, what the Bible says, what it means. Okay? And we are going to go through all the scriptures, and we are going to get a good picture of this, so we will understand. And now, so for the Christian, how we need to be ready for His second coming. The world is going to get dim and dim every day. You're going to get the news, what you're going to hear is not going to be good from the news media. No. Our technology will increase and we will have a lot of comforts in this world. But at the same time, the world is going to get wicked and wicked and wicked. You will hear stories where you have never ever heard before. How many times a year have you heard that some guy going to a school and killing kids? Have you heard that kind of stuff about 10 years ago, 20 years ago? You never hear those. How within their family, children killing parents, parents killing children, kids taking guns to school. We heard those things before. The things are getting worse. Imagine if Iran get the nuclear bomb. What's going to happen to the world? and they sell it to Al-Qaeda, what's going to happen? The world is going to not, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. But for us, to the Christian, we are not going to panic as everybody else. The people who doesn't know the Lord, they will be panicking because they have no hope. We have the blessed hope of Lord's appearance, right? Blessed hope of His coming. For the non-Christian, there is no hope. When you look at this world, absolutely there is no hope. But Jesus Christ is our hope. Because He is coming. He is coming to vindicate judgment to those who doesn't trust in Him, who doesn't believe in Him. You know, there was an artist who wanted to paint a picture. He wanted to paint a picture of the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son, right? How he took all the wealth from the father and went away and enjoyed himself, and how when his money was all gone, he wanted to come back to the father. He felt like he was wretched, miserable, no money, even lived among the pigs and ate the food, and that kind. And at the end, when he was totally humble, he came back to the father. So this artist was looking to paint a picture of the prodigal son. And he went all over looking to the, went to the prisons and poor areas and looking for a person who looked to find the man who is, looks so wretched enough, looks like a prodigal son. And he couldn't find. But one day in the street he saw a beggar, a poor beggar, who looked so wretched and miserable. And he told the beggar, "I want you to come to my house and I'm going to paint. I'm going to do a picture. And of you, I want you to come at 10 o'clock in the morning." So, this man, just as the appointment was made, he went at 10 o'clock in the morning. So artist said, "Who are you?" "Oh, I have an appointment with you at 10 o'clock. "You have an appointment with me? I don't know who you are." "What do you mean? You talk to me, I have an appointment. I've never seen you." "No, no, you talk to me on the street. I'm that beggar." But he said, "You are the beggar that I talk to you? How come you look different? You look, you know..." When he said, "I want to paint you as a picture," the beggar, what did he do? He dressed nicely. You know, made a good shower, combed his hair nicely, and he didn't look miserable at all. Nice shirt, nice pants, so you want to be in the picture. That's how a lot of people come to Christ. You know, a lot of people come to Christ, they think, well, the Bible says, how did the thief on the cross? He came to the Lord just the way he was. Do you clean fish before you catch them or after you catch them? Yeah. You don't, after you catch them, you come. Do you take, when you go to the shower, when you want to take a shower, do you clean yourself before you get into the shower? No. You get into the shower just the way you are. That's the way Christ comes to the sinner. That's the way the Lord comes to the sinner. The Lord comes to the sinner just the way you are. Then who cleans the sinner? It's the Lord is the one who does the cleaning of the sinner. He does the cleaning. And when He does the cleaning, wow, does He clean good. He cleans very good. And He cleans the sinner into a saint. In the same way. And this cleansing doesn't, He doesn't make us a saint at once. We don't become perfect at once when we know the Lord. No, absolutely not. We are perfect from His justification. We know that when God looks at us, we are absolutely perfect. 100% perfect. But in this life, we are not perfect because we are still growing in our sanctification. We will be perfect one day. And when Jesus comes and raises us up unto life, that means we are going to have a glorious body, absolutely perfect. See, this is what we are talking here. There is the truth in the Bible. That's why, brothers and sisters, my friends, whatever that comes from the pulpit, do not believe. Do not believe even what I say. You had to check everything in the Word of God and study them as a student. And labor in studying. And it's not easy. And that's how you know the truth. When you know the whole truth, you know, when you see the whole picture now in the rapture, we thought all this time, many, even in this church, believe rapture is a separate thing that's going to happen. And second coming was another thing. Now, when we see these things, we say, wow, I never saw it that way. Because you know why you never saw it that way? You just believed a preacher. You did not check what the scriptures said. Let's pray.